The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. We're going to have fun this hour. It's going to be an hour of open phones on Wheels Up Wednesday. Completely open. We could talk about homeless, Trump, taking over the rest of the world, renaming the Panama Canal. I mean, we could do all those kind of things. But we're going to kick it off, though, with a lot of fun, and that is the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. Diner 62 Quiz is a lot of fun. And Randy's saying, Happy New Year from the crew, and they've extended that hot open face sandwich special for a limited time. They have that half ham special for 11:15 Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 in the morning only. So even right now, you can head over there. Get that wonderful special and the ham at Diner 62. Very good. Clam Chowder Friday on Friday, as always. Just a wonderful diner just south of White City. 770-5633. And if you haven't won in the last 60 days, you can win it next. We have an incredibly interesting historical question. This is from the 1800s about part of the road where you pass and you pass on 199 and you'll see this guy's name at some point, all right? So that might be a little bit of a hint. 770-5633. You have one lineup. We'll do it next.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com. As the Fontana Roofing crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
com/Kim. NetSuite.com/Kim.
News Talk 106.3 KMET. This is the Bill Myers Show.
The Diner 62 Real American Quiz. I always enjoy this. A lot of fun. Get around and shoot the breeze and learn a little bit of history, too. Okay? And let me go to Jeff. Hello, Jeff. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Morning. Well, earlier this week, Jeff, on Monday, January 6th of 1799, frontiersman Jedediah Smith is born, right? We know all about Jedediah Smith a little bit. One of America's greatest trapper explorers, he's born in New York, and Smith explored an amazingly large part of the American West. He started his western voyages in 1822, joined the pioneering fur trader William Ashley on a trip up the Missouri. And a year after his trip up the Missouri, Smith set out with a small band of mountain men to explore the Black Hills of the Dakotas. Despite being mauled by a grizzly in the Black Hills, Smith continued going west to the site of modern-day Dubois, Wyoming, where he and his men camped out for the winter. Now, during his long forced halt there, Smith learned from Crow Native Americans of an easy way through the Rocky Mountains. They later named that the South Pass. Well, Smith's new route was a high plain that gradually rose like a shallow ramp to give an easy crossing to the Continental Divide. And the employees of John Jacob Astor's Pacific Fur Company crossed this pass at 812, but since it remained unknown, Smith is credited for alerting all the white settlers to the existence of this easy way around the Rockies. Now, Smith also explored the Great Salt Lake, the Colorado Plateau, led the first expedition to cross the southwest of California. I mean, he's everywhere. We even have we have forests named after him around here, okay? The question, though, for the win, Jeff, at what age did Smith retire from exploring and fur trapping to become a merchant? He wanted to run a store, in essence. Was it A, age 31, B, 41, C, 51, D, 61 years old, or was it E, he never retired to become a merchant? It's one of those.
Guess
51. 51, right there in the middle. It's as good a guess as any. Not the one, though. I didn't answer this one right, Jeff, so not just you. Let me go to Chris in Medford. Hello, Chris. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm antsy about this question.
You're antsy about this one. Well, it's no pressure. You just have, you have a 1 in 4 chance of winning it here. So, Jedediah Smith 31 when he retired to become a merchant, 41, 61, or he never retired to become a merchant?
I'm going to say he never retired.
You're going to say he never retired. Yeah, he would have gotten bored. Seemed like an ants in the pants kind of. No. Sorry, Chris. I was pulling for you. Let me go to Carol. Hello, Carol. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
All right. So we have Jedediah Smith went everywhere, right?
Right.
And then when did he retire? Was it 31, 41, or 61 years old?
Let's go with 61.
61, you're thinking on the high end. Yeah, 61.
No. Okay.
61 years old, and that day it was an old 61, too. All right. So I guess, Diana, we're down to either 31 or 41 years old. What do you think?
I got a 50-50 chance.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say 41.
Okay, why don't you say 31?
31.
31, yes.
You're a winner!
I'm just out of time.
Okay.
I just took pity on you, okay? All right. Well, you see, it's a long quiz, and the information on it all, Diana, is pretty good. So I wanted to make sure people got it, okay? But the blazing of the South Pass route alone would have secured Smith's claim as one of the great explorers of the American West. But through the following decade, Smith also explored Great Salt Lake, Colorado, led the first edition to cross the Southwest to California, all before he was 30. So he was, boy, he did a lot, right? Having lived through dozens of narrow escapes on his journeys, Smith decided to retire in 1830 and become a storekeeper, enter the mercantile business, right? Ironically, being a trader was more deadly than exploring while he was leading a trading caravan along the Santa Fe Trail in 1831. Smith was murdered by a Comanche Native American near the Cimarron River. He was only 32 years old. After all that, he dies as being a storekeeper and trying to get it all stocked up. So, pretty interesting story. So, Diana, we're going to send you to Diner 62 and great story and enjoy all that. I love the Diner 62 burger, one of my favorites here. Hang on. It's 820 at KMED. Open phones now for you. Anything on your mind, anything goes. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Do you know that it is possible in a single day?
Word baby, or go to preborn.com/Beck. Preborn.com/Beck. Sponsored by Preborn.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
In the late gray, in Golden State, it's getting hard to negotiate. When you what slipped from a grim fate, in the late gray, in Golden State.
Yeah, say a prayer, certainly, for the folks in Southern California. Thousands of structures destroyed. Thousands of structures. It's essentially there, all meet a fire. You know, what has been going on there. And thousands, two dead at this point. Thousands of structures destroyed, hundreds of acres, and it's out of control. And the winds anywhere from 60 to 100 mile an hour gusts. It's a rough time. They knew it was coming, too, because of the dryness and then the weather going in there. Before I get back to the phones, though, you know, California seems to be, unfortunately, where all the experimentation is done, and then it's the Petri dish. Actually, I guess I should say it's the laboratory, and then Oregon ends up becoming the Petri dish. California actually experimented with the universal basic income recently. And then before I go to the phones, I wanted to share with you the results of one of their experiments. They had universal basic income. 4 years after Stockton, California, a number of miles north of Modesto, you know, San Joaquin Valley, over off of the highway. 4 years after Stockton conducted a nationally watched experiment, they gave 125 households $500 a month with no strings attached. And so dozens of other programs then throughout California also testing the concept of a guaranteed income. You know, this has been something that the Klaus Schwab types have been talking about. We're just going to have robots running everything. You're going to be living in stack and pack housing. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. And we'll have a universal basic income and then we'll all be happy, right? Well, CalMatters identified more than 40 similar pilot programs that have run, are operating, or who are planning to launch around the state. They are sending groups of low-income people regular unrestricted money ranging anywhere from $300 to $1,800 a month for periods of 6 months to 3 years, depending on the program. By the way, you can read this report in revolver.news. This is where I'm taking it from, okay? In all, the programs represent the largest modern U.S. experiment in unrestricted cash payments, with more than 12,000 Californians expected to get more than $180 million in public and private money. Nowhere else have so many guaranteed income pilot programs been launched at the same time. Lots of free money. Well, what they ended up finding, though, some of the results. Right before the holidays, they released the results of this. While being given $500 per month in free money in one major study, participants only ended up $100 a month richer, and they smoked more cigarettes. I kid you not. The study gave about $500 a month to 700 households in Compton, California. Another 1,400 were designated as a control group, and they found that getting a guaranteed income had no impact on the labor supply of full-time workers, but part-time workers had a lower labor market participation by 13 percentage points. So 13% fewer people would work a part-time job. And so what they found out is that most of the people, they didn't really improve. It didn't improve their lives. Maybe $100 more a month, but they smoked $400 a month more in cigarettes. I thought that was pretty interesting. So that's it. And, well, you give everybody fish. They don't learn how to fish, and I guess they're just going to go out and eat the fish and then go smoke. Let me go to, I think we got Crazy Gene here. Hey, Gene, how you doing?
Oh, I'm still here.
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just thinking of my past back when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
I had a Kawasaki 175, and I got really good at pulling wheel stands.
Oh, yeah.
I could pull a wheel stand on that thing all the full length of Meadows Road. I could put my foot on the pegs and just wheel stand it all the way down.
Oh, you are one of those guys. I've always admired the people that have the skill deal to do that. Get the wheelie and hold it. There was some guy on the Delta Water Speedway yesterday, and I know, of course, he was breaking all the laws, you know, by doing it. But he had one of those little crotch rockets that they have now. They're very powerful, and he just gunned it. And he was just holding the wheelie on the Delta Water Speedway. We're going like, wow, you know, pretty cool. Not smart, but pretty cool nonetheless. Yeah,
yeah, but I did that probably, I'd say, 25, 30 times.
Mm-hmm.
That I would drive the full length of Meadows Road, my feet on the pegs. I would shift up, and I would shift down, and I would turn around and come back. Doing that, I was perfect balance.
What made you stop doing that?
Well, I'll tell you. I was doing that one day, and I went over backwards.
Oh, okay.
And you know what? After I did that, I could never do it again. I lost faith in myself. I was not king of whatever.
You were not the master of your domain with something like that. Now, that Kawasaki 175, was that a two-stroke? Just curious.
Yeah,
because those two-strokes, Eric Peters has talked about those two-strokes, how the real challenge is that they can sneak up on you. You'll floor it, and it takes a while for that thing to spin up, and then when it gets to that certain torque range, it'll just pop the motorcycle right over backwards, right?
Yeah, well, they could do that, but it was just my own stupidity. I just like on The Matrix where Neo was looking for believing in himself, you got to believe.
Yeah.
And I lost my belief.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. I'm glad you're okay. Good to hear from you, Gene. Let me go to line two. Line two, I think I took your name, but I forgot it. Sorry I didn't write it down. Who's this? Hello?
Bill, Brad here.
Oh, hey, Brad.
Bill?
No, I guess it wasn't you. It was someone else I was thinking of. Anyway, what's on your mind?
Good morning. So lots of discussion about all this speed stuff in Medford. So I've got good news for you and your listeners. Today, this evening, is the first meeting of the Medford City Council, and they're swearing in not one, not two, three, or four, but five new people on the Medford City Council. There are five open positions and five brand new people. And they set aside 30 minutes every session to hear comments from the public, and they'll give you 2 minutes. So,
well, I know what I'm going to do is I'm going to write the council today. I don't have time to go to the meeting. I just don't. I wish I did. But, you know, I'm on the toddler schedule, you know me, in bed by 7 or 8.
Yeah.
What I wanted to do, though, is I really do implore them. I wrote the old council last year, you know, about this speed limit change. And
these are really good people. And I'll tell you something, Bill. I happen to know that two of the city councilors that are getting sworn in tonight drive hot rod BMWs and their Leadfoots.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, at least two of the counselors have a lead foot, and one of them is a realtor, and we know that all realtors drive like bats out of hell.
Yeah, pretty much. There does seem to be I have noticed that pattern. It must be just coming with the high pressure of the gig, you know, that sort of thing. But ultimately, though, the thing is, the city was not wrong when it had a 30-mile-per-hour speed limit there. It wasn't wrong, Brad. Would you agree with me? I mean, it was that way for decades and decades, right?
I would agree. Yeah, 100%. But, you know, the thing is, strings come attached to all this stuff. You know, there's probably some grant somewhere that said, you know, if you take the money, you got to do this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a city council that is, I mean, you know, again, you've only got 8 councilors. You're bringing in 4 new councilors and a new mayor. These are all professional people. They're used to getting stuff done. They will listen to people like you. They will. And like I say, at least 3 or 4 of them I know are lead foot, so they will be very sympathetic to your point of view.
Well, I'm going to write them a comment today. I'm hoping other people can either attend the meeting. The thing is, it's not enough just to call talk radio. I'm glad to have you people call talk radio. But the idea is to get involved with this. And
right.
And I know that it's ever easier when it comes. Gosh, you can dash off an email pretty easily. Of course, I don't know. Maybe an email is starting to become easy to ignore. I don't know. But a well-crafted public comment is well worth it right now. And the main thing is, let's just go back, you know, let's reverse course on this situation. It's obvious that when you see 5,000 of these citations being written, that it's the wrong speed limit for the area. It is. The area is making it clear. They're telling you that right now.
Well, Bill, you just made the point. Why can't you make it to the meeting? It's because you're up at ODARC 30 every day putting food on your table and working. You know who's really good at showing up to meetings and making all these comments?
The left.
It's the lycra wearing bicycle activists that, mm-hmm. that you know that like to do all this stuff. They're the ones that show up. Oh yeah, lower the speed limit. Yeah, it's great. It's great. And people like you, because you work so many hours. If more people who think the way you do, and frankly, there's a lot more people like you than there are the people riding bicycles around. But the bicycle riders are the ones that show up and make comments at the meetings.
So you have to show up. That's the first thing. Show up and take part. All right. Thank you, Brad. We go to line 3 here on Wheels Up Wednesday. Good morning. Hi, who's this?
This is Minor Dave.
Hello, Dave.
I wanted to talk about who Donald Trump appointed is his number 2 and number 3 in the Attorney General's office. That would be his 2 attorneys that are handling his criminal case, Todd Blanche, and I forget the other guy's name, but Todd Blanche will be the number 2. And I can see indictments coming for the judge, Marchand, and Alvin Bragg, and a bunch of people there in New York under U.S. Code Title 18, Section 241 and 242.
And what are those subjects, since I don't know them?
242 is deprivation of rights, and 241 is conspiracy to commit deprivation of rights. They go hand in hand.
So do you think it would be, is it a good idea for the Trump administration to use the DOJ then to essentially go after his tormentors?
It wouldn't be them. He turns it over to them, mm-hmm. and what they've lived the case with him, and they've been arguing good cases. They won in the Supreme Court on immunity, so I think they'll just know what to do.
All right. Appreciate the call there, Dave. 770-5633. If you are on hold, I'll be right back and happy to take your call. And we have one opening there on the board. It's open phone, 770-5633. Bill Myers Show on Wheels Up Wednesday.
As we welcome 2025, Dusty's Transmissions encourage
Freon Bedliner Technology. Stop by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority and let our seasoned team of professionals give your truck the protection it needs with a legacy spray-on bedliner.
Are you 55 or older, or 18 and older living with a disability? Do you feel isolated or alone, lack technology, and want to be more connected to others? Find out how you may be able to get a free laptop, tablet, or even a robotic pet. We'll help you get started and provide you with support for a new device so you can easily learn how to use it. please take the opportunity to call the Aging and Disability Resource Connection, ADRC, at 855-673-2372 and tell us you're calling about Help to Connect. And if you know someone who could benefit from this free program, please ask them to call the Aging and Disability Resource Connection. Once again, call the Help to Connect program to find out how you may be able to get a free laptop, tablet, or robotic pet. Again, that phone number is 855-673-2372, and tell us you're calling about Help to Connect.
Welcome to the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
You know that PSA that just played there from that group Help to Connect? I'd like to find out more about that. You know, they're talking about if you're a senior or disabled, whatever it is, help to get a laptop or a tablet or a robotic pet. Part of me almost wanted to tear up a little bit at that. Did you have that reaction? You know, connect up and I appreciate connecting and, you know, listen, I know my mother's laptop, you know, I got her and, you know, she has a laptop, uses it. It's a big world to a window to the world and or a tablet or robotic pet. There's something about that. It's almost kind of sad, isn't it? That there are so many people that don't have any contact, any human contact. Robotic pet? Wow. That's sounding very Japanese-like. I know that the robot pets have been a big thing over in Japan. I'm not criticizing the program. I'm sure that there are some people out there seeing the need, but I'm just kind of, what have we come to? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just totally off base. But we can talk about anything on your mind, really. It's open phone, 770-563-3770-KMED. Diana, it's good to have you here. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in and thank Brad for giving us a heads up about the city council meeting and what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say that I would be there to plant some seeds of doubt regarding Vision 2040.
And that's what you've been doing. Now, Diana, you have been doing all sorts of these seminars, and you have another one coming up Friday, and we're going to talk more about that on tomorrow's show on Conspiracy Theory Thursday and
yes.
Detail this. So you're going to go before the city council. Thank you. Bless you for doing that. And you want to plant some seeds of doubt. You'd like to get them thinking about pulling away from the climate-friendly, equitable community Borg, I guess. Is that kind of where you're going?
I believe there's a lot of them, especially if you're new on the table going into being a councilman. You're not sure what the whole agenda looks like, where it's going, how comprehensive. You know, the city is taking over functions, or the task force wants to control every aspect of community life. And that's not what the city of Medford's supposed to do. So I just want to plant some seeds of doubt. And I've done that before. One gentleman one time when I related the program to the same type of program they had in Soviet Russia. And he pointed to me and he says, he was telling everybody there that was seated, this is what I was talking about. He's recognizing something already, you know. And then the gentleman who was sitting next to me after I gave my handout, he wasn't even paying attention to Matt, who was talking up there, giving a presentation. He was reading a document on his phone, and he had my handout in front of him. So, you know, they need to do their research, and that's what I'm trying to encourage when I plant seeds of doubt. I give them a handout.
I really appreciate you doing that, Diana, because there's a lot of agendas being thrown at city councilors, and it's a volunteer position. A lot of these people have full-time jobs, too, you know, on top of it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and so this was one of the reasons why, of course, I have been advocating actually paying city councilors, because there are so many agendas being thrown at you that I think you almost need to dedicate more time to it than a volunteer position can actually do it. But I'm sure, though, that the globalist types and the one world types like it the way it is right now, where you have volunteers that are always stretched for time and don't have time to do all the research, et cetera, when they're trying to essentially bring world communism in through your local government, right?
Right. That's why they had to bring in consulting agencies like 3J Consulting and Jensen Strategies.
Yeah, 3J and Jensen. And guess what? They always have the Globalist American Planning Association kind of take on things. Isn't that fascinating, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, they're the consultants, and they know. We paid them for this study.
Right.
All right.
In fact, yeah, when I was on the City of Shady Cove website, they had a little confessional right there. They were saying that they pay Rogue Valley Council of Governments to help them with their new planning stages. And I'm thinking,
Rogue Valley Council of Governments is the problem.
That is the problem, right. They're the ones bringing in and suggesting which areas should be good candidates for climate-friendly areas. And their documents are pages long. And they hand them to, they kind of made an agreement with every city down here. And in their mind, anyone who lives between Central Point and Ashland, that's one metro region in their mind. It's not separate communities.
And the idea is not to have separate communities. The idea is to be one climate-friendly, equitable blob is what it is.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Now, your event, by the way, your next seminar, though, is going to be Friday, right?
Friday, yes. And it's going to be about total digital monitoring and that kind of thing. We'll even talk about the new vaccine cards, smart wallets they want you to carry in the future.
All right. Now, where's that going to be? We'll talk more fully tomorrow morning.
Right.
But, Gabe, yeah, where's it going to be?
Friday at 6 o'clock in the evening at Central Point Library.
All right. So tomorrow, though, we'll talk about this as much as in-depth as we can, kind of a prequel to it, after 8:30 news. Okay?
Okay. Great. Okay.
All right.
All right.
We'll see you then, Diana. I appreciate you doing the work, and thanks for going before the council tonight. Let me go to Deplorable Patrick. Hey, DP, go ahead.
Well, Bill, I want to talk about Eric Peterson, but before that, I just want to let you know I'm not impressed with this idea of robot dogs. Now, if they could make them where they shed hair and pet dander and pass gas and lick themselves in front of your company when you have, then maybe I'd want one. But I don't know.
Yeah, but did that strike you kind of sad? Now, I'm not making fun of it. I'm really not, because there are people who are genuinely lonely and not connected out there. I mean, I'm serious. It's a serious issue. And
some people, I know a lady that calls in now and then. She listens all the time. I heard her say, "I can't live without a dog." Now, that's, I understand, but I'm not that way.
Yeah, but the idea of a robotic pet filling the void, there's something to me that's rather sad about that, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I guess it's time to be more sociable with your neighbors and make sure they're, knock on their door.
Well, a lot of these people are shut-ins, though. I think are shut-ins or maybe people who are disabled, those kind of things. And yet, it's like so much of the culture right now in the electronic world, from AI to robot pets, it seems to be not about making a better reality, but just giving you a simulacrum, a just high-tech fake job about your world, I guess. And maybe that's why it bothers me. Have a cat, have a dog. Guess what? They're pains in the ass, okay? But that's the purpose of having a dog or a cat, okay?
I always agree with you, and Eric Peters is one of the best segments you have. But this morning he was complaining a little about Donald Trump bloviating and stuff like that. Well, Donald Trump does bloviate. I wish he would use the word we more than the word I. But I'm so grateful to have him in place of these do-nothing shuffling dummies who don't know where they are, who only want to occupy the office and have the status of being president and just go with the flow and do what everybody else has done before. At least now we've got somebody that's thinks outside the box and who wants to accomplish things. I'm willing to put up with his...
You'll put up with the bloviating. All right. On that, Real American Salute, Patrick, DP. Thank you. 770-5633. Open phones continue. This is the Bill Myers Show. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello?
Brian Weldon.
Hey, Brian. Welcome. Wild night yesterday over in Grants Pass, huh?
Yes, it was. I was there. I got a chance to speak representing Park Watch, which I have spent years now trying to deal with cleaning up our parks so children and parents can play sports and have a safe environment. And it's been a nightmare. And now, after last night's meeting, I went and said what I said, went back to my chair and sat down, and the crowd of people behind me, one lady starts yelling that Park Watch members all carry guns and they want all the homeless dead. I thought,
so those are the kind of morons you're dealing with, huh?
Yes. Why? I have a suggestion for our new council members and our mayor. Why don't we drug test everybody that wants a SNAP card or a new tent or new clothing or whatever? This is, if you keep enabling these people, the crowds will come. I've asked homeless people where they're from. The doctor said last night they're all from Grants Pass. That's a lie. They're coming from California. They're coming from other states and other areas.
And they're coming up here because there is an easy touch and an enabling culture, unfortunately. And we're continuing to feed the bears, eh, Brian?
Yep.
Got to stop feeding the bears. You have to make it more comfortable. We have to make the bears more uncomfortable with doing drugs, and then maybe they'll get treatment. That's what I'd really like to see happen. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate the call. Let me go to line two. Hello, this is Bill. Who's this? Good morning.
Hello, Bill.
Hi, Lucretia. How are you? Welcome.
Hi. Oh, pretty good. Since we're talking about electric cars, mm-hmm. I thought I'd bring up something I sent out last night, which was about Elon Musk being a con man. And it was something David Icke has put together of where they're taking us with all these electric cars that are obviously more polluting and toxic and deadly than anything else. And anyway, he says, what's behind electric cars is that they can take you where you want to go or not. They can track you. They can take you to a different location or just put you in a road jam.
Yeah, hang on just a second, Lucretia, if you don't mind me interjecting on that. It's interesting where you're going with that. You know what happened last week in Vegas, right? Vegas with the Cybertruck.
I didn't hear anything about it.
That blew up. No. Well, the reason I was going to bring this up, though, when you were talking about the information, reason enough not to have an electric car was that Cybertruck explosion, right?
Right.
And because what did Elon Musk do almost immediately after that occurred?
I didn't hear.
Oh, well, he came out there and talked about how, well, it wasn't the car blowing up because we have all this information about it. It was working perfectly fine and this and that and the other. So it's like anybody with us, they've got it all. Think of all the information, all that information in the companies with your connected cars. And they knew it within a matter of seconds. They were able to just pull it up on the screen. Why would anybody want that in their life? I don't get it. But anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt there. I know I interrupted you. Please continue with David Icke, but why would anybody want that much information monitored that anybody just pulls it up when you're out there on the road?
Yeah. You know, Elon Musk is behind the climate change, and that's why we're doing this. He's he is putting out 12,000 low Earth orbit satellites, and another 32,000 are on the books to put out. Already we're seeing animals, we're seeing birds fall out of the sky. We're seeing everything from ants to fish to sheep going in circles before dying. and weird stuff with this electromagnetic radiation.
So do you think that Elon Musk could actually be a plant to really change the climate? Because you fill the sky with Skylink satellites, you put the Wi-Fi everywhere here, and you barbecue us. Is that where you're going?
Well, yeah, that. Three more comments, just real quickly.
Okay.
You know, Musk says you don't have to put a chip in your brain. You just, as David Icke said, you can just inject it right into your arteries and veins and it'll get to your brain. So We may have already vaxxed a lot of people with the technology. You had that fellow on that talked about graphene oxide, which is also how they can nucleate the weather and turn it really cold. But he said that the graphene oxide is 2,000 times more conductive than copper. You know, they call it a conspiracy theory. It's kind of boxed it like, oh, you're just a tinfoil hat. Well, you know, if you put tin on your head, you're even more exposed to any kind of mind control, voice-to-skull technology.
All right, so don't put on the tinfoil hat. It makes it worse. Okay. Right. All right. Hey, thanks for the sneak in prior to Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Thank you, Lucretia. It's 8:55. If you are on hold, I will get right to you. 770-5633. We got a little more call left here. A little more call time left here on Wheels Up Wednesday. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Looking for your next adventure? From the rugged Subaru Outback to the versatile Subaru Forester, Southern Oregon Subaru has the perfect vehicle for you. Plus, we're offering a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new Subarus. Whether it's mountain roads or city streets, drive with peace of mind.
Right connection. Anything is possible. That's Life Unlimited. That's Spectrum.
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED.
It's 8:58, and we're going to extend the show a little bit till 9:03 this morning on KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. We have Vicky, who is here. Vicky in the Applegate. 770-5633, by the way. Hi, Vicky. How you doing?
Good. Just enjoying a little bit of sunshine that's coming up.
Oh, is it? I haven't even looked out. Oh, no, it's still pretty gray here in Medford.
Oh, no, it's beautiful up here. Mm-hmm. But I had a comment about the robotic dogs.
Yeah, there was that program of Get Connected, give you a free laptop, free tablet, or a robotic dog to get you connected. And to me, I thought that was kind of sad. I thought it was just sad in, you know, not a, how do I put it? It was sad. I'm not criticizing, because I know it's a serious problem with people being lonely, but to me, a robotic dog feels so thin gruel. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, you know, I've always had dogs. I've always had a black lab, and Black Lives Matter. That's what my brother-in-law tells her all the time.
Oh, okay.
When she feels neglected, he's like, black dogs matter. Anyways, you know, when I'm sad about whatever and I'm crying or, you know, I just can't see an electric dog coming up. He probably recognized it. It would recognize that I'm sad or something was wrong. But I sure in the hell would not want it licking my tears because it would probably short circuit or electrocute me. And the shut-ins, I get where, you know, they think that a robotic dog might be feasible for somebody. But, you know, they have all kinds of support animals for people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they get more of a benefit from a live, breathing, warm animal than they would a cold, hard.
Well, a real consciousness rather than a simulacrum, a replica,
right.
You know, a replica. And I know they're trying to, I think, train us to get to the point where we look at artificial intelligence as somehow real and with a soul. And I'm sorry, I think I know the difference between a robot dog and or robot cat and Charlie, well, who's sitting around there rolling on his back, showing his belly at me, wanting me to give him a scrub, you know?
Well, not only that, but what's next? Robotic kids? The only benefit is that is if they don't listen, you can turn them off.
I suppose so. Appreciate the call. Let me go to Scott. Hey, Scott, how you doing this morning? Go ahead. Scott? Hello, Scott? I got the wrong name there. I don't know. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Ann, the horse lady.
Oh, hi, horse lady. How you doing? Welcome.
Listen,
I have an interesting thought. This is for tomorrow when we get to Conspiracy Thursday. All these young people that were brought here under the DACA rules, DACA's been in for a long time. Some of the DACA people are 30 years old.
Yes.
For tomorrow, why the hell didn't they apply for citizenship and they don't have any room to whine?
Were they allowed to apply for citizenship? Because I would wonder if there is no legal standing to do so. I'm just asking the question. I don't know for sure. Okay?
I don't either. And I've been thinking about that for quite a while. And it makes no sense, because if Trump wants to throw them out, that's fine with me, because they should have applied for citizenship. And if they couldn't, they should have raised hell. But obviously, they don't want to be here. So it's just, it's a thought for tomorrow. And we've got a lot of real smart people that listen to you.
Okay. Well, I'll see what the actual status is, if they can apply for citizenship. I don't know. But that's interesting. Yes. Thank you, Horse Lady. I've got about 45 seconds left. I'll see if I can get line two on here. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hello?
Hi. Who's this?
Hi, Bill. It's Francine.
Francine, I got 30 seconds. Can you make a great point?
You bet. I think the robotic dogs, I mean, I get where you're coming from with feeling sad about it. I completely get that.
It's like a sad, it's a sad comment on the human condition that we think that a fake dog would work. I don't know.
Yes. But the thing is, this is all part of the psyop that's going on to get people to, you know, think that robotic this and that is the way to go.
All right. That you could be right about that. Thank you very much, Francine. I appreciate that. It's 3 minutes after 9. I'll tell you what, we will continue the conversation tomorrow morning on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Got it. Got good stuff. Diane will be joining me, Captain Bill, and a bunch more. Email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com.
An intelligent solution saves you money. This is Randall at Advanced Air. It takes an expert to navigate the current HVAC rebates. Call Advanced Air to save big on equipment replacement. Advanced Air is currently offering an additional rebate on qualifying systems, up to $1,000 on Bryant Mini Split and